You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Saturday's action. On this edition, you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:15pm with Sean Quinn, Alistair Whitehouse-Jones and James Millman in the studio. Good day to look forward to as well, with racing at York, Newmarket, Haydock and Chester. In the afternoon, we've also got Chepstow and Stratford in the evening, so plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. Rory Delaghi. How are you, Rory?
I am marvellous. Thank you very much, Mark.
That good, yeah?
Much better than I was last night. After leaving here after a long shift, when I had to leave Leeds, sadly, to find somewhere cheaper to stay, decided to go to Wakefield, ended up accidentally in Castleford. Being stranded there and thinking you're somewhere else is not the most, not the ideal scenario, but it all worked out in the end.
Good, good, good. Let's talk about last night as well in terms of racing. Very good card at Sandown for the Brigadier Gerard meeting. The first of the Group 3s on the night was the Henry II Stakes, won by Von der Force. A good ride from Richard Hughes from the front. And Von der Force, last two runs now, have been very, very good.
They have. He's a horse who's very much going places. He won at York last season and then ran an absolute cracker at the ARC meeting at Longshaw. He's come back better than ever this season, as you'd expect for a horse with his pedigree and also his build. He's well suited by a test of stamina and fastish ground. He did get the run of the race, but that's always going to be the way with Von der Force, because he's a very straightforward type. He's a front runner who does pretty much what he's asked to do. So he hasn't won in flashy style, but he always looked in control, well back before the race. Held off an unlucky looking Trip to Paris in second. You can look back at the form and say, well, he's beaten Trip to Paris and Aussie Reigns, and that's maybe not Ascot Gold Cup form, but he did no more than is required. A Trip to Paris got in a little bit of trouble early in the straight, but he's a hold up horse who needs to be produced late, and he just got trapped in a pocket for a while. But he wouldn't have caught Von der Force whatever happened, and had he been launched at the winner earlier, you get the impression that Richard Hughes's mount would have found a bit more. He's a lively lively outsider now for Ascot, as long as the ground is similar.
Staying with Trip to Paris there, you mentioned he was unlucky in there. The ground was probably a little bit quicker than he'd like as well.
I think he's reasonably adaptable, but he handles soft ground very well. It was soft when he won the Chester Cup. He's an interesting horse that he's not bred to stay. And I think he's won his races at 2 miles and more, both at Ripon and at Chester, by being able to utilise a turn of foot at the end of them. And I think he'll clearly win more races when things pan out his way. Similarly, there'll be plenty of races where his style of running means that he won't be seen to best effect. So he's going to frustrate and delight in equal measure.
Yeah. Just a quick look at the Ascot Gold Cup betting. Forgotten Rules is 2-1 at the head of that betting. 8-1 for Brown Panther and Mizu. Von der Force now 9-1. 12 for Alex McBoy and Tactab Watron. 14-1 Trip to Paris if he's supplemented. The other big race on the night at Sandown, or the feature race on the night, was the Brigadier Gerard Stakes. Won by Western Hymn, just getting there ahead of Arab Spring. And it was a good performance by definitely the front two.
Yeah, it's easy enough picking holes in the form. Eagle Top, he finished fourth, would have needed the run. I think John Gosden said so beforehand. He shaped well for a long way, but clearly will be better with the outing behind him. And Trister didn't seem to handle the switch to turf. I mean, he went well for a fair way. He loomed up briefly in the straight, looking like he was going to take a big hand in the finish. But the way flat races are run on the turf and the way polytrack races are run around Lingfield, Chelmsford, etc., are very different. He was very, very well suited by the nature of all-weather racing. Not necessarily just the surface. His pedigree suggests he should handle turf fine, but he tended to be settled in behind runners so that he wasn't too free, and then produced with a big run. It's not that easy to do that In a lot of turf races. He'd be better suited to a flat track, I'd have thought. He wouldn't be out of things if they run him in the International at York later in the season, for example, but he was disappointing.
Flat track at a bigger field, do you think small field didn't help either?
Well, he's won well in small fields. You know, he doesn't want to be among horses, that's the issue with him. So in a big field, he still needs to be dropped out. In a small field, again, he could see a lot of daylight. He just needs the right setup, to be perfectly honest. Okay. But clearly he's going to do better back in an artificial surface. Western Him won well enough in the end, but he's really quirky. He got to the front, hung left, as he's done in the past at Sandown. He goes very well at the track, but when he gets to the front, he sort of ducks out to his left. So he gave it back to Arab Spring, then got back in an even keel, got his head in front again, and again he shifted out to his left. But he was able to come back in the bridle again and got in front pretty much on the line. Arab Spring ran a cracking race from the front. He will clearly do better back in a mile and a half. He was given an aggressive ride by Ryan Moore, but that rather set it up for Western Him. If you're taking one from the race, it's probably going to be the runner-up, or you definitely wouldn't lose face with Eagle Top.
Yeah. Anything else stand out to you?
The winner of the National Stakes earlier in the card was very impressive, although he might just be overrated on the back of it. King of Rooks very much got the run of things in what was a messy race, drawn close to the rail, got out well, and ended up winning by 5 lengths from Burattino. Some decent horses in there, but a few of them getting in each other's way. Irene, who was drawn widest of all, ducked violently left in the early stages, then shifted right onto the rail and then had to be pulled wide to challenge. That will do much better at some stage. And King of Rooks, the one positive with him was this was 5 furlongs. He'd won his previous start over 6. He'll probably step up again to 6 in the Coventry, but that's a very, very hot race.
Mm. Okay, well, we'll leave that there. Let's change our attention to Saturday's racing. Then we're going to look at some of the action at York and Newmarket, and we'll get Rory's thoughts next.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, we've got one race from York and 3 from Haydock. So we'll start with the race at York, which is the 220. This is the Grand Cup, which is a listed race over a mile and 3/4. It's for 4-year-olds and older. A field of 10 here, Rory. Who'd you like in there?
It's an odd thing to say. I like Big Orange, who's got absolutely no chance with Clever Cookie on Chester form. They both ran in the Ormond Stakes. Clever Cookie ran the race of his life to win that, beating Tac de Boitron, which looks very strong form. The ground turned heavy, and that probably got Tac de Boitron beaten. For all he loves digging the ground, he was giving away weight that day and just got tired in the last quarter. The last half furlong, and Clever Cookie pounced late under a very good ride from Graham Lee. He's effective at this track. He's effective on faster ground. He clearly goes very well with lots of give. And even though he's giving weight away, he's liable to head the market or be very close to the head of the market. Big Orange has beaten a long way that day, but he didn't seem right. He cut out the early running, but Tom Quinney never seemed comfortable on him. Looked down a couple of times and he was eased off in the closing stages. He's much, much better than that form. He'd won a handicap at York last year of a mark of 101 and then followed up in a listed race at Ascot. I immediately marked him down after the Chester run as a horse who would improve a chunk this season. Really big, scopey type who you'd love to go hurdling with, but obviously connections are very much flat-based. I thought he would do really well this season. He's still in the Ascot Gold Cup, and I'm inclined to draw a line through the run at Chester. It may well be that he's carrying a minor problem, in which case you'll get a similar run again. But because he can't beat Clever Cookie on the form from Chester, I think he's going to be ignored in the betting. He'll be an each-way price, and I'll be happy to back him as a result.
Yeah. He's well-named because he's such a big horse as well. Do you think he might have just needed the outing?
It's possible. He didn't ship simply like it was needed. He looked in a bit of trouble before the home turn. So I'm hoping whatever it was, it could just have been the ground. He's won on soft ground before, but it had turned really, really soupy at Chester on the final day, and plenty of horses ran no race as a result. So if that's the reason for the poor run, then it's easy to forgive. And everything about him last season suggested he would do better this year.
Okay, Big Orange for Rory then in the 220 at York. Let's turn our attention to Haydock. The 2 o'clock is the first race we look at there. This is the Pinnacle Stakes, which is a Phillies Group 3 over a mile and, well, extended mile and 3 furlongs. It's almost a mile and a half. We've got 11 of them to go to post here. Rory, who would you be siding with?
I will take a chance on the fitness of Queen of Eyes. She won in her debut. She won in her seasonal reappearance last year. And I'd expect her to go well here as well. She's the only out-and-out front runner in the race, although plenty of these tend to race close up. The two most obvious ones on recent form are Talmada and Cleo. Talmada was runner-up to Secret Gesture in the Middleton Stakes at York, with Bragging in behind, and Cleo would finish second to Bragging in the Dahlia Stakes at Newmarket before that. That pair are pretty straightforward types and will take a chunk out of the market. Talmada will probably be favourite for this. She was definitely suited by the way the race was run at York. Her and Secret Gesture set up a bit of a lead on the others without going too fast, and those who were held up struggled to get into it. So I think she's marginally flattered by that, but she is a course winner here at Haydock. She wasn't disgraced in the Ribblesdale at Royal Ascot last season either, and she's a bit of a class act. She might be just a bit skinny based on the on a simple reading of the York form. And Cleo, she won't mind any ease on the ground, which is a bit of a concern for Talmada. Bear in mind, there's been a bit of rain around today. The advance going is good there, but I think it will be good to soft, given that the rain they've had overnight at Haydock. It should be a good day on Saturday, but there will be some ease. That's a slight worry for Talmada, whose form is all on good to firm ground. Cleo handles heavy. She was a winner of a handicap at Doncaster at the back end of last season. She hasn't raced at a mile and a half, but the fact that she saw things out well on very soft ground over a mile and a quarter at a stiff track at Doncaster suggests that she'll stay, and she might be the biggest danger. But Queen of Ice, for all she ran on good to firm ground all through last season, she was a winner on her debut on soft at Newmarket, and she'll have no trouble with the conditions. She might just get the run of things from the front.
Okay, Queen of Ice then. In the 2 o'clock, the 2:35 at Haydock is a Group 3 over 7 furlongs, and it was the John of Gaunt Stakes. And we've got a nice big field here, Rory. It's going to be one of the more open races on the day.
Yeah, the key to this, it would appear, is the Locking Stakes. A load of these weren't good enough in that race, but Cable Bay ran his best race in some time to finish 5th, going on well at the finish. He was in front of Breton Rock, who was 7th. Al Jamahir was 8th. Captain Cat was down the field that day. And it's interesting that they all clash again. Off that quartet, the one that I like best in the conditions is last year's runner-up, Breton Rock. He was keeping on at Newbury over a mile, but 7 furlongs on soft ground is his ideal scenario. It's not going to be very deep, but it's going to be soft enough for him. He's never been fully effective and good to firm ground, so I thought that was a decent effort for him to finish mid-division on the lock inch. He'll be spot on for this run now with that behind him. Progressed all through last season. Unlucky not to win this last year. I think it was Penitent who won it, and he was beaten a nose, having travelled really well and looked like he was going to come and win the race and just got touched off. I think he's guaranteed to run his race. The one other horse who's worth bearing in mind, might just get the run of things, is That Is The Spirit, who's a 7 furlong horse through and through. Won over course and distance last season. I believe he won the same race that Breton Rock won before coming here. He only just held on from Dusky Queen. Well, I say only just held. It was a length and three quarters, but he was all out at the line. He's found this class tough in the past, but given he is the sole front runner in the race, he might just be, you know, if Danny Tudhope can time it right, he might just be best suited by the way the race is run. Ease in the ground suits him as well. He did well in the first half of last season and then struggled a little bit, arguably because he couldn't handle a step up in class, but possibly because he did too much too soon in the early part of the season. So he might just be able to pick up the progressive thread again, and he's one of the more interesting ones at a price.
Okay. Do you side with That Is The Spirit then, or do you stick
no,
with,
yeah. That Is The Spirit is the one I'm worried about. I'm going to stick with Breton Rock, who's done me a few favours in the past.
Okay. The 3:45 is the Sandy Lane Stakes. This is a Group 2 over 6 furlongs. It's for the 3-year-olds, and I suppose we should start here with Limata, who remains unbeaten. Does it continue?
Well, it looks very much like that, because the interesting horses in the race have all been beaten by Limata on the same terms before. Limata was the top, well, arguably the top two-year-old last year. He was an incredibly impressive winner of the two-year-old trophy at Redcar. That's not a race that a lot of people assume is extremely strong, but last year it was. He beat Matmu. Matmu went on to win his next race and then won a Group 2 towards the end of the season. And Matmu has shown this season how strong his two-year-old form was by just getting touched off in the Duke of York, despite the fact that he had a penalty to carry there and he was up in the van throughout, which wouldn't have suited the way the race was run. So Lamato's already beaten him and beat him on the bridle. And of course, he came out this season and he's beaten pretty much everything else in this race. He had a day back in third at Ascot. He had Beacon well back in ninth. And he also had Marquez back in fourth. Marquez and Ade have both come out to run very well since. The form looks solid. Lamato was rumoured to need the run at Ascot first time out. Henry Candy said he wasn't absolutely in love with his work. And he looked a bit rusty in the first half of the race. But he came through strongly to win with a fair bit in hand. And he's very, very hard to oppose. He's going to be a skinny price. He's going to be something like a 5-4, 11-10 shot for this. So there's not an awful lot of scope for punters. If there's one at a big, big price who could run well, it's one of those who was well behind him, Beacon. Beacon won the Flying Childers last year. Had to carry a penalty for that at Ascot on his return. He didn't deserve to win the Flying Childers either. He would have finished a distant second, but for the runaway leader unseating his rider, swerving across the track and unseating his rider close home. So not many people will like Beacon because he's won a Group 2 by default last season. But he got no sort of run at Ascot on his return, and Richard Hughes was tremendously quick to give up on him. He wouldn't have won. He'd have finished fourth or fifth. He was on the wrong side of the track and met trouble and was then eased off. He does have prospects of turning the form round with a couple of those who were in front of him. You can't see him beating Lamato, but it's possible to see him finishing second or third at a double-figure price.
Yeah, it could be the each-way call, or perhaps without the favourite. We usually price those up as well. So, all right, good stuff. Let's have a quick summary, Rory, if you'll spin us through your selections one more time.
I shall indeed. At York in the mile and six race, I remain sweet on Big Orange, who disappointed at Chester, but can bounce back and should be a decent price as a result. In the fillies race, the 2 o'clock at Haydock, I'm taking Queen of Ice to make a successful reappearance. The 2:35, which is the John of Gaunt, as it was. My selection is Breton Rock. And in the 3:45, Lamato will take all the beating, but there might be some value in backing Beacon each way without the favourite.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you very much, Rory. Good luck and enjoy on Saturday.
Thank you very much indeed.
So there you go. The thoughts of Rory Delaghi on Saturday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:15pm with Sean Quinn, Alistair Whitehouse-Jones and James Millman in the studio. We've got York, Newmarket, Haydock and Chester in the afternoon, so a good day of racing to look forward to. We've also got Chepstow and Stratford in the evening. Tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Saturday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.